This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يقول الإنسان يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي صدق الله العظيم الفاتحة
جزاكم الله خير قاري علي سالم may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Brothers and sisters, our main speaker tonight is Sheikh Musli Khan, but we have a visitor also, and I wanted to give him an opportunity for about 5 minutes to say a few words to you. He is well known in the GTA, in the Muslim community, and in Canada, and also in the United States. Sheikh Ibrahim Hindi is the Imam of Darul Tawheed Center, Mississauga, Canada. And he's also a research manager at Yaqeen Institute. Many of you know Yaqeen Institute. Very briefly, I know that he's also a diehard Leafs fan, and he has recently become a TikTok star. So, Ibrahim Hindi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Jazakallah khair for the beautiful introduction. Yes, I'm here on behalf of Yaqeen Institute. I think, inshallah, they have or will have a booth, inshallah, and I hope people are able to go and support. First, let me ask a question. I want you to ask yourself this question. If it was a smaller group, I would go around asking. How do you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like, how do you conceive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Just something to think about. We do this question, we ask young people this question, and it's interesting the answers sometimes that you get. So sometimes when you're speaking to people and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect me from saying anything unbefitting to His Majesty, but I want you to understand how often young people especially think through this question. Some people, they see God as like a police officer looking to pull them over, right? So they think that God is there to punish them. I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to get caught, I'm going to get punished. This is their conception of God, right? That God is preventing them from a more pleasurable life. Other people, you talk to them, and their conception of God is like they're having a deal with Him. Like this is a transaction taking place. Like two businessmen on the table, you make a deal. So they're like, their conception of God is, I'm giving you ibadah, I'm giving you prayer, worship, fasting, and then when I ask you and I make dua, you give me what I want. It's like a deal that we're doing. I give you this, you give me that. And of course, when Allah tests them and they don't get exactly what they want when they want it, then the person has, you know, all these negative feelings towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a common issue that people have. Sometimes one of the most common questions I get, young people say, why is this haram? Why is that haram? You know, why are there so many things in Islam that's haram? Why are there so many wajibat? Why are there so many things that we have to do? Why do we have to fast? Why do we have to wear hijab? Why do we have to do all these things? And it's interesting, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. We didn't send the Quran to make things difficult for you. We didn't send the Quran to cause you distress, to make things hard. And you're thinking, but things are hard. It's hard to fast. It's hard to do this. It's hard to do that. Why is it difficult? How does Allah answer you? He doesn't give you a direct answer. All of a sudden, the verses start to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of a sudden, the verses start to say, تَنزِيلًا مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى الرَّحْمَنُ وَعَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى. It's a revelation from the one who created the earth and the high heavens. He is the most merciful, ascending above the throne. Until it reaches the verse, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa lahu al-asma'ul husna. That Allah, there's none with the right to be worshipped save Him. He has the most beautiful names. It's as if Allah is telling you, do you want to know why Islam sometimes feels difficult? It's because you don't know Allah properly. If you know Allah, everything becomes easier. If you know Him properly, if you conceive of Allah properly, everything becomes easier in your life. The scholars say, إِذَا عَرَفْتَ الْآمِرْ سَهَلَ الْأَوَامِرْ. If you know the one commanding, the commandments become easy. Think of it like this. A random person comes up to you and says, give me $5. And you have the money. You have way more than $5 in your pockets. You're like, I don't know you. Why am I going to give you anything? But somebody you know, you trust, you know is a trustworthy person, someone who has helped you before in the past, they say, hey, can you give me $100? You'll be like, yeah, right away. Why? Because one of them you trust and you know, and the other one you don't. When you know Allah and you trust Him and you know His names and His attributes, then whatever He asks you to do becomes easy. So Allah tells you, I didn't send the Quran to be difficult. Then He starts describing His names and His attributes. And one of the biggest problems we have is when people have this wrong conception of God. Sometimes it's because they had a teacher who taught them about Islam the wrong way. Sometimes it's their parents, and the relationship they had with their parents ended up changing the way that they see their religion and they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet tells you that Allah tells you, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنَّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am as my servant thinks of me to be. Allah is inviting you to understand Allah properly. Everything I've said so far, I've taken from one paper at Yaqeen Institute, which is a paper on this God image concept. There is not a day that goes by except I get an email from somebody who tells me they accepted Islam because of what they read at Yaqeen Institute, or that they were leaving Islam and because of what they were able to read or the videos they were able to watch, it was able to bring them back to Islam. So I hope, inshallah, you're able to come to our booth and you're able to learn more about our organization, about our website, and are able to support bi-idhnillah, however you were able to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who know Him as He deserves to be known, and that we have the proper conception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لَكُمْ جَزَاكُمْ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Ibrahim Hindi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. And once again, we have learned a lot from Yaqeen Institute. We are very proud of the work that they have done, both in the United States and here in Canada. And we are working towards a collaboration with the Islamic Institute of Toronto and Yaqeen Institute for the good of the Ummah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Sheikh Ibrahim and the folks at Yaqeen Institute. Sheikh Musleh Khan needs no introduction. I don't want to take up much of his time, so I would ask him to address you, inshallah. I am hearing quite a lot of feedback from the sisters' area, from brothers. So inshallah, if you can keep your voices down, because we need to respect the speakers and the message that they have for us. Jazakum Allah khair.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Can you all hear me? Because I can make my voice very, very loud if I need to, but I won't. This is as loud as I will be. And, you know, I understand that when we come here and we meet one another and we want to talk and greet and so on. And all I will say to that is, Alhamdulillah. Because if I ever feel that socializing is distracting me, you know what I do? I remind myself, remember those lockdown days? Yeah, Alhamdulillah, we're here, we can meet and we can have a conversation. So, with that being said, my topic for you is really navigating through pain and struggle. We all know what's been happening, especially here in Toronto, for the last little while, especially with our masajid. Everybody is on edge. We are all worried. We don't want anybody or any intruder to come and make us feel scared, regardless what we might think. You know, I meet a lot of Muslims who say, nobody's going to scare me. Okay, congratulations for you. What about the rest of us? There are others who are scared. And as a community, these things are a concern. And then when you look beyond the community and you see around the world and the globe, all of the pain and the hardship, that in and of itself is a great, great burden and a point of reflection for all of us. But then if you narrow it down, all of us have pain. Even if you say, I don't have any struggle or pain, yes, you do. Because that's how Allah designed us. Nobody is immune to pain and struggle. And the best خير خلق الله, the best of Allah's creation, went through pain and struggle like you and I could not imagine. You know, I often spend time thinking about what it would be like being in the shoes of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You ever think about that? Like, here's a man who's born in Mecca. He has neighbors and friends in the community that all know him. They've grown up with him. His neighbors know him. All the friends know him. And he's just a regular person amongst Meccans. And then all of a sudden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses him, gives him a revelation, and then he stands in front of the people that he knows, that have known him his entire life, and subhanAllah.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Is there a doctor in the crowd? Inshallah. Yes, please go at the back in the tent, please. Thank you.
So we're talking about pain and struggle. May Allah give them ease. Anybody who is struggling back there, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them shifa. Allahumma, ameen. Allah works in a miraculous way. So we're hearing now of a real life example. So I'm kind of glad that we all got to witness that. But at the same time, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them strength and heal them. Allahumma, ameen. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stands in front of everybody who has known him his entire life. And you know what he says? I am a prophet of Allah. Allah talked to me, gave me this Quran. Now you need to change your entire lifestyle. How would you react? We have a similar relationship with what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had when he stood up in front of everyone in his city. You and I have to follow a certain regiment, a certain lifestyle. We can't just buy whatever we want. We can't just drink or eat whatever we want. We can't just do and talk whatever we want. Islam gave us a bunch of these guidelines. But in the midst of all of that, some of us here lost children. Some of us here lost parents. Some of us here lost friends. Some of you sitting here, it's only your physical body sitting here. But your heart and your mind and your emotions are somewhere else. Why? Because everybody has a story. Everybody goes through some kind of pain. So I'm going to jump and really get to the bottom of why this happens and how we can work with it. Number one, why does this happen to us? Why does Allah create pain and struggle? Number one, our view is not always a complete picture. Allah has a complete picture. An example of that is, I don't know why I go through pain and struggle. And I may not see the wisdom why I'm going through that pain or struggle. So I don't have a complete picture from A to Z why this is happening. If Muslims and people understand that, you start the process of healing and you start the process of becoming strong. When I say healing, it doesn't mean that the problems will and the pain will go away. Some of us have pain in our hearts and within our emotions that are permanent. And I want to reassure you, that's okay. You can have those pains. It doesn't mean your life is impossible. So the first thing, Allah knows the wisdom and has a complete picture. The best example, you all remember the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Do you see how the story began? This beautiful child. And then it began with the brothers, then they did what they did. And then when you get into the middle of the surah, it gets frightening. It's just one problem after another. He gets kidnapped, he gets thrown in a well, then he gets picked up, then he gets sent to another country. You would think, okay, those who found this young child in a well, let's see who he belongs to. No, they actually took him, sold him as a slave, and shipped him off to another country. Meanwhile, his father has no idea whether the son is alive or dead. And then at the end of the surah, what does Yusuf alayhi salam say? He still thanks Allah for everything that he has. Because what did Allah do with him? He went through all that pain and he became one of the ministers of Egypt. He was reunited with his brothers. He forgave them. Then he was able to see his father and invite them to a better life. Allah sees the complete picture. You and I can't. Number two, you have to know, our ulama tell us, you must know good. Or in order to appreciate good, you must know the opposite of good. You must know what hardship is like. That's simple and straight to the point. So for us to appreciate what we have, the goodness that we enjoy, the stability that we have to sometimes experience disruption. Number three, this is probably the most important one. Have you heard a verse that sounds like this? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. So Allah says, I'm going to test you. Those of us who study basic Arabic, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, it comes from the word ابْتِلَاءٌ. ابْتِلَاءٌ is one of several words in the Quran to describe tests, hardships, struggles, exams. ابْتِلَاءٌ is the most serious of them. Ibtila'un is the kind of test you go through and you can't do anything about. You can't stop it, you can't change it, you can't slow it down. It's coming. And there's nothing you can do but to accept it. Allah says five areas of your life you're gonna have ibtila. Number one, وَنَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, fear, وَالْجُوعِ, hunger, وَنَقْسِمْ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, and Allah will subtract some of your wealth. Today you have a job, tomorrow you don't know. Today you're making good money, tomorrow the business struggles. You don't know. And remember, it's not just about income. Today you can afford to go to the grocery store and buy all your delights and sweets you like. But then a time comes where food insecurity is a reality. You're struggling. You've got to watch every dollar. Now you've got to cut the grocery list down. That's also part of وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. وَالْأَنْفُسِ is number four. Allah will test you and me, our health. Allah will test us. And the fifth one, وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. ثَمَرَات literally means fruits. But in this ayah, it means also children. Because children are the fruits of our lives. Allah will test you with your kids. You're sitting here in the masjid, but maybe some of our children, who knows where they are. You know, just a few days ago, I met a sister who is a board member in a masjid and one of the founders of that masjid. Just a few days ago, one of the founders of the masjid. And she came, she pulled me to the side, she had tears in her eyes. She says, I need your help to talk to my child. I don't want to say if it's a son or daughter, just it's a child. Because perhaps, in case anybody might have an idea who the person is, I don't want to say any details. All I will say to you is this. My child left Islam in Ramadan. So think about, Allah will test us. So, how do you fix this? How do you work with this? How do you navigate? And this is what I will conclude with, inshallah ta'ala. Ask Allah for the impossible. You know how we're all taught and we're reminded in Ramadan to make lots of dua? We're reminded this, right? I give the reminders, I listen to the reminders. You should make as much dua as possible in these last 10 nights and in Ramadan. However, if you want to take your dua to a whole nother level, ask Allah to do the impossible things. Because He's already done that with people in the past. Remember the story of Nuh alayhi salam? You know, that flood was so massive that all the mountains in the surrounding region were underwater. Yet Allah allowed one ship to survive. Remember the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam? When the mushrikun or those around him, they wanted to get rid of this guy that had so much knowledge and so much dedication to just the worship of one creator. So what did they do? They built a fire. The ulama say the fire was so intense that the birds in the sky started falling to the ground. Allah then allowed a situation to happen. Ibrahim alayhi salam is thrown into the fire. What happened to the fire? It became a cool and refreshing breeze. Ask Allah to give you what you think is impossible, for it is not impossible with Allah. Number two, tawbah, istighfar. This is where we don't, generally speaking, we don't think of seeking forgiveness like this. Do you know that seeking forgiveness, our Prophet ﷺ taught us, also relieves you of pain and hardship in your life? You actually live a life that is less painful, filled with less struggles, less difficulties, because you keep asking Allah, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. That's the fruits and the barakah of when you ask Him to forgive you. You're relying upon Him. You have tawakkul in Him. One short note about tawakkul. Remember that tawakkul is not something you learn out of a book. We don't have a guide, easy steps to develop and solidify tawakkul. You know what we do have? We have certain steps that you can follow that inshallah, this can be the result, but there's no guarantee. Tawakkul starts here, the ulama tell us, in the heart. And when it's there, only Allah sees it. No one else can. Only Allah nurtures it. No one else can. When you have tawakkul, you stop complaining. Nothing bothers you in this world. And the last and the final point that I leave you with, inshallah. I love this one. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, tell me if you agree with this. He always saw goodness and strength in people who saw nothing in themselves. Do you believe that? You believe that? The Prophet ﷺ saw in his people what they didn't see in themselves. And I quoted this hadith last night, but I will leave it with you for those that weren't there. I just want to leave this one last statement of a beautiful moment with the Prophet ﷺ and Aisha radiallahu anha. Take it, think about it, and inshallah, it'll uplift you and it'll give you some sense of strength, inshallah. There was a time when Aisha radiallahu anha, she was sitting with her husband. And you know,
I'm going to demonstrate. This is what she was doing. The narration says that she was lost and she just like, she got caught up staring at him. Staring at his beautiful soul and his handsome and beautiful face, and she got lost in that. And when she got herself together, she said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me. So the Prophet ﷺ starts to make dua for her. And he asks Allah, O Allah, forgive Aisha all of her mistakes that she has done and all of her mistakes that she will do. And forgive her of all the mistakes that we see and all the mistakes and sins we don't see. Ameen. Aisha radiallahu anha started to smile and she put her head down like this and she started to laugh. So the Prophet ﷺ looks at her and asks her, Ya Aisha, do you find comfort in my dua? She said, Ya Rasulullah, how can I not find anything else but comfort when you make dua for me? And the Prophet ﷺ told her, Wallahi Aisha, this is the same dua I make for my entire ummah every single salah. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't know my name, doesn't know our names, doesn't know we exist, hasn't met any one of us, but already asked Allah in every one of his salah, forgive every single one of us, every sin that we've ever done. If that doesn't give you strength and hope, I pray that inshaAllah ta'ala, as you continue to live your life, you will find the strength and hope you need. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all those who struggle with pain, may Allah azza wa jal bless them with patience and ease and strength and resilience. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fast, accept our qiyam. And may Allah azza wa jal bless you all. Thank you for listening. جزاكم الله خيرا and may Allah عز وجل reunite us in جنات الفردوس الأعلى اللهم آمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
جزاكم الله خير شيخ مسلم may Allah سبحانه وتعالى reward you. There is quite a lot of activity in the hall, so inshallah I will ask all of you to settle down. We are expecting a special guest, and that's the Deputy Mayor of Toronto, Jennifer McKelvey, and she will be here in a few minutes. But before that, inshallah, I want to repeat a number of announcements that we have made in terms of our scheduling for the next few days, inshallah. So tonight, we have our lecture and iftar program. After Salat al-Maghrib, we will ask you to remain so that we can give you the directions in terms of going for dinner. Inshallah, tomorrow, if you have the time, we are doing a spring cleaning for Eid. And inshallah, that will be at 3 p.m. We're allowing you to sleep in, have your beauty sleep, like I do sometimes. And you come at 3 p.m. inshallah. If you have a leaf rake, you can bring it with you. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned up before Salatul Eid, inshallah. We are hoping that the weather will hold up and that we can have the Eid prayer on Friday on the lawn. But if this is not possible and if it rains, then inshallah the Eid prayer will be at the Scarborough Convention Center and also at IIT pretty much simultaneously. So inshallah we will send the instructions in terms of where to go first and what is the overflow. And we will provide all of that on our website, on our social media channel, inshallah. This coming Wednesday, inshallah, we have our final resilient hour, and that will be done by all of the scholars at IIT. So we would like you to tune in at 7 p.m. And our scholars, inshallah, will reflect on Ramadan and leave you some parting words, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, I cannot express enough the sense of gratitude that I have for our volunteers. SubhanAllah, if you were to go outside there today, from 8 a.m. until now, there are brothers and sisters who have been working nonstop so that we can have the meal that we will enjoy tonight. And right now, there are brothers and sisters there. It's almost like a factory. They are packaging the food. And after we finish, when everybody goes home, there will also be brothers and sisters who will be helping in cleaning up. And this goes on throughout the month and indeed throughout the year. We have volunteers who are helping us to ensure that our organization, our institution runs the way it should run. And I also want to leave you with the final thought, which is that the Islamic Institute of Toronto cannot run without your support. We cannot exist without your support. We cannot exist without the services that you have provided, we cannot provide the services without the support, both financially and morally. And so today, inshallah, I want to remind you, our fundraising chart is showing 100,000. I think we're a little more than 100,000, probably about 110,000 now, but we have to go to 300,000. And that's quite a jump. So tonight, inshallah, I will ask you, before you leave, please leave a donation for IIT. We are asking 1,000 people to give $300 each. And inshallah, I am confident that with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will reach there. But we need your support. If you've given before, please give again. Because as we said, inshallah, sadaqah does not decrease wealth. So at this point in time, I will ask you to stand up and to come to the front and fill the sisters and brothers. Fill all of the spots that you have here. Inshallah, we will leave this space reserved for a little while, but we will fill it up. But please come as close as possible and make yourself in the lines so that we can be prepared for prayer, inshallah. So I will ask you, once you have found your spot, please take a seat, inshallah. I will ask you to take your seats, inshallah. And brothers and sisters, we have about 15 minutes before the adhan is called. We are honored today to have with us the Deputy Mayor, Jennifer McKelvey, and I will actually ask her to come in and just take a seat on the chair before I introduce her, inshallah. So her bio is too long for me to read. I'm not going to read it. It will take up too much of my time. Dr. Jennifer McKelvey, is the Deputy Mayor of Toronto and City Councillor for Scarborough Rouge Park, which is our riding here, which she has represented since 2018. Until a new mayor is elected, the Deputy Mayor McKelvey has assumed the responsibilities of the mayor. She is focused on ensuring good governance and stability at City Hall, and we hope, God willing, that she will be able to represent all Torontonians in the best of manner. Dr. McKelvey is also a professional geoscientist and previously managed research partnerships at the Nuclear Waste Management Organization and the Canadian Institute for Advanced Research. She has peer-reviewed research, which have been cited more than 1,200 times, and was supported by numerous national and international awards, including the L'Oréal UNESCO Women in Science Fellowship and Natural Science and Engineering Research Council Canada Graduate Scholarship. As I said, it's a very long bio. I don't want to bore you, but it is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Jennifer McKelvey to the Islamic Institute of Toronto.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so very much for the kind invitation to be with you today. I have been here before. This is my first time being here, though, as Deputy Mayor and the current Acting Mayor of the City of Toronto, a role that I will be in for the next 72 days. And I will say that many of you came to our iftar dinner at City Hall last week, and I was so grateful to see Scarborough community members that were there. And I just want to thank you so very much for everything that you do to build our community here in Scarborough, day in and day out. And that is also during Ramadan, when I know that you embrace those principles of generosity and giving even more. And so I'd really like to extend my best wishes for peace and good health in the coming weeks to everyone observing Ramadan. And I know that in just a few short days, you'll be celebrating Eid with your families, and I wish you all the best for that celebration. Thank you so very much. I am just so honored to represent this great city that is so incredibly diverse and has such amazing people doing so many great things. Thank you for caring about Toronto. Thank you for giving to Toronto.
Thank you very much, Dr. McKelvey. And as someone who has worked at City Hall for the past 32 years, I can say that our councillors are here for us. We have been engaging Dr. McKelvey and previous councillors in this ward. And I know that if you have an issue, feel free to contact her office, and hopefully they will be able to resolve that issue. I wanted to reflect on something at City Hall to show the greatness of the city. When I started at City Hall in 1991, there was no room to pray. And at that time, a little after that, Mayor Barbara Hall was the mayor. We advocated for a room to pray at City Hall, and alhamdulillah, we were able to get that room. And alhamdulillah, I can say now that at every civic center, there is a room to perform the prayer. So I hope that with your advocacy, not only for prayer, but for other issues, then Deputy Mayor McKelvey and other councillors can listen to your voices and respond in a proactive manner. So thank you very much. And I would encourage all of you to go out, to know your candidates for mayor, and to go out and vote, I think in June, sometime in June. June 13th, is it?
June
26th. June 26th is the election for the mayor. So please know your candidates. We are not giving a platform to any candidate here, because if we do so, we will have to give a platform to all of the candidates. Hopefully, we might be able to have a mayoral debate with some of the candidates. But please go out and vote for the mayor of Toronto. So, alhamdulillah, I just wanted to ask if you, by a show of hands, if you can show me if you need dates. If you don't have dates to break your fast, please, inshallah, just raise your hands and our volunteers will come to you. If you don't have a date to break your fast, please raise your hands and our volunteers will come to you. So I think that there are some sisters on that side. There might be some brothers over here. I also wanted to draw your attention to the fact that all of our programs are ASL, sign language. And so for the members of the deaf community, we have made it a point that every single program that we have here, including the Friday prayers, including the iftar program, that we're including the deaf community. And by having a sign language interpreter, we're able to provide that service to those who may not be able to hear or who have difficulty hearing. You can be part of this community, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, as I said at the beginning, today is really a bittersweet moment. And that is, we have come to the final iftar and lecture program at the Islamic Institute of Toronto. For over 26 years, Islamic Institute of Toronto has provided education, social, recreation services to all our community, both non-Muslims and Muslims. There have been times when non-Muslim graduates of a program at the University of Toronto have come to learn from us. They were part of a cohort that were taught here at the Islamic Institute of Toronto. There was a time when many of our students visited international universities around the world, specifically in Malaysia, where they were able to engage in academic discussions at the university level. The Islamic Institute of Toronto provides services for children in the form of classes, Quran classes, on weekday evenings and on Friday nights. We provide recreation services for our children and our youth in the form of ball hockey for brothers and sisters. We provide a senior circle for our seniors in the form of sessions and outings, and we provide education services to both adults and youth. So if you look at our YouTube channel, alhamdulillah, our YouTube channel has a large repository of courses, about 80 courses. Each course has 10 sessions. So 800 courses on our YouTube channel that you can access for free. So alhamdulillah, there is no excuse for not knowing about your faith. Inshallah, I can see a lot of movement again. So if you don't have a date to break your fast, please raise your hand and our volunteers will come to you, inshallah. I want to ask Sheikh Musli Khan to come again, and I want to ask him a specific question. So Sheikh Musli, inshallah, if I can ask you a question, just 3 minutes, if you can answer it. We have been gathering here in this beautiful month of Ramadan, all of us together. There is extra motivation, there is extra spirituality, there is generosity, there is extra ibadat, and we are coming to an end. This great guest, this great visitor, who has been with us here for the past 25 days or so, will leave us in a few days. How should we honor this?
Time a believer gives charity, Allah orders, and especially when they give charity on behalf of the deceased. So if you have friends or relatives that have passed away and you want to give some charity on their behalf, Allah will take your charity and send 70,000 angels to take your charity and deliver it to your loved one in the barzakh, in the afterlife. When they receive it, they know who gave it, and they begin to celebrate in the barzakh, in the afterlife. They begin to celebrate with joy and happiness because someone, you, gave sadaqah on their behalf. So my only thing that I will say to you is this: live a life of charity. Remember, charity is not just giving money here and there. Islam teaches us that charity is being nice to one another, smiling, holding a door open. Last night I told a story of an 18-year-old sister. She bought over 20 rubber slippers. And she went to a mosque, a masjid, and then she said to them, when they asked her, what are you doing with all of this? She went to Dollarama, she bought out all the rubber slippers. She said, when I went into the sisters' wudu area and I wanted to use the slippers, I saw that a few were broken in half, some were really worn down, a lot of them, they were missing the other pair, the other side. So I just decided to buy slippers and I'm donating it to the mosque. Can you imagine the reward for this 18-year-old sister? Every single time somebody walks in there and performs wudu, they put on the slippers with the intention of wudu, then they pray, and then all of that, every step of the way, the reward goes back to the sister until the end, until those slippers are gone and then somebody else replaces it. She still gets the reward for it. Then when she passes away, goes into her grave. Then even after that, she's still benefiting. How? Because she went to Dollarama and she bought a bunch of rubber slippers. Think about it. Sadaqah. If you see something that needs to be done, you know, yesterday somebody was telling me that when they walked out of the building, they could see that there were parts of the wall that needed to be refreshed and painted. And he asked if he could do something like that. Just serve humanity through charity, whatever it is that you can. That would be my best advice to you. I guess, you know, I have a couple more minutes just for one last thing, and that is, remember that the masjid is the gas station for our iman. You cannot be a Ramadan Muslim if you have in your mind that all that I did in this month, I'm going to slow it down. Okay, fine. That's okay. I get that part. But don't cut off the relationship you built this entire month with places like this, especially the young people here. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us strength. Allahumma ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakumullah khair. Thank you very much, Sheikh Musli Khan. I have a request for all of you, especially the young people, and maybe the not so young who have Instagram account. I have an Instagram account. So please check Islamic Institute of Toronto. We are uploading a number of shorts, a number of videos and reels. So inshallah, if you can check it out and you can share it. Because, you know, social media is the new tool of the day. And by reaching more people, alhamdulillah, we are building more awareness for our programs and for IIT. We can't end the program without an announcement about a car. And this car is actually providing some entertainment outside. The alarm is on. So BCBY149. Brother Imtiaz, not you? No, okay. I saw you watching me.
No, yeah. It's not mine.
It's not Sheikh Musli's either. So BCBY149, your alarm is on. Something is going on. So please go and check it out, inshallah. Once again, brothers and sisters, there are spaces in between. So please come forward so others can fill the spaces. We are at the time for iftar, calling of the adhan. After Salatul Maghrib, after the sunnah, please remain seated so I can give directions. Jazakumullah khair once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة ح حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح